Dangerous Morning Show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, mother...
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Tuesday.
Yes, it's Tuesday.
I like your criminal-minded hat, Yee.
Oh, you like it?
You know, I like those little odes to the 80s and 90s.
All right, I'll get you one. I know you don't like dad hats. I'll get you a regular one.
Oh, no, I do like hip-hop dad hats because I'm Yeah, I'm a hip-hop dad. So, you know, I always feel
I
like...
I know, the style of dad hats, I feel like some people don't really...
Oh, I don't wear them out. I just wear them at the house. Like, if I'm outside on the deck or something, I throw it on. I look stupid with it on in public. I look stupid with dad hats on in public. I don't have a dad hat head.
Well, shout out to my guys at Classic Material NY.
All right. Shout to everybody who purchased and streamed my record. Now, the record did over 1 million in 3 days.
Drop on the Clues
which
bomb for
is unheard
that, damn
of.
It.
Most artists who came out in the last couple of weeks are way lower than that.
So you went platinum in 3 days?
No, I didn't say I was platinum.
What do you mean a million then?
Well, streams
million.
Streams don't count as the same as...
Oh, streams don't count as that. Streams don't count as that. But we're on the way to that. So shout to all the people that are downloading the record, supporting the record. It's a lot of kids, teens. It's crazy. It's such a mixed crowd.
Your number.
Yeah, text your number is the name of the record. Yeah,
Charlamagne and I had a debate about this.
Oh, what was
the
debate?
The text your number, what does that actually mean?
You can
I said it's when you go to the club and you meet somebody and you're like, text your number.
Yeah, right, you give them your number and they be like, text me your number.
Right.
I had my young boys hit me up, the Lean Squad. Drop on a Clues bond to the Lean Squad. They was like, yo, we really like Envy's text your number record. Can we do a video for it without getting flagged? And I'm like, I don't know.
No, everybody's been doing videos, and I've been reposting the videos.
Not up to me.
I've been reposting the video. It's just really dope to see how big the record is. When we did the record, I wanted to do a record that I can play in Ibiza, in Miami, Vegas, the dirty strip clubs in the South, Jersey, New York, and it's been working. And I love it. I mean, I love the fact that I'm getting a whole new audience. It's just really dope to see how well the record is doing. Like I said, we streamed over 1 million in 3 days, and usually that takes a couple of weeks, but we did it fast, and it's still growing so fast, so shout out to Spotify for supporting, and I didn't even do none
and
of the playlist yet.
I'm
about to say iHeart. The Spotify, they did the playlist. The most people actually went to Spotify to download the record, so shout out to Spotify. iHeart, thank you for supporting and doing that package, because it's not necessarily a quote-unquote your typical urban record, but they still rolled out with me, and they're seeing how well it's doing, so I definitely appreciate it.
And Fetty Wap needed that, by the way.
Fetty Wap definitely
needed
that.
Fetty Wap was cold out here. He needed that.
Fetty Wap definitely needed it, and he has a bunch of records after that, so it's good. I'm really excited about it. A lot of the real hip-hop heads wanted a real hip-hop record, but that's coming. Don't worry about it. I got all that, but I had to do this first. This is...
Envy saw that list of DJs.
The DJs on the Forbes
list. Making all that money.
Oh, you get it.
The Calvin Harris's and the Diplos.
$45 million.
Stevie Aoki's and all of those people.
Last year. I'm going to
read
crazy.
You that list, man. All right, let's go. Number one on the list. Calvin Harris, $48 million. Tiesto, $39 million. The Chainsmokers, $38 million. Skrillex,
crazy.
No, the Chainsmokers is a group.
They're DJ.
The Chainsmokers?
Yes.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They're on the DJ list.
They're DJs. They just get artists.
The Chainsmokers
they always
DJs.
Been DJs. They just featured artists. They don't sing a rap. They DJ.
I interviewed the Chainsmokers before. I thought they actually got songs.
Man, David Guetta, $25
David
million.
Guetta.
Steve Aoki, $29 million. The Marshmallow guy. You don't even see that guy. $21 million. Zed, $19
million. Well, Envy's going to make that list next year.
Ain't none of them Cardi B, though.
How come Khaled's not on there?
He don't make that much code compared to these DJs.
Jesus Christ. Why you just
I thought Khaled made, like at least $20 million last.
Next to these DJs? Doing like these DJs get $150 a show. $200,000, $300,000 a show.
So does Khaled.
No, Khaled doesn't get $300,000 a show.
Okay, guys.
But anyway.
Congratulations on the success of the record.
Oh, thank you. Now, Jackie Christie will be joining us. She is from Basketball Wives.
The reunion was on last night. A lot of people are talking about it. Whew. let me tell you something. It's going to be some drama this morning.
All right, so we'll talk to Jackie Christie, and then we got front page news. What are we talking about?
We will be talking about Donald Trump. He has made some, I guess, stronger comments after he got a lot of backlash for not really speaking out against the white supremacist violence in Charlottesville, Virginia.
And shout out to all our listeners in Charlottesville, Virginia. We definitely appreciate you guys riding with us and supporting us and hitting us on Instagram and everything else.
Oh, man.
Thank you for the love and support.
Oh, man. Listen, salute to all the white people who were using their privilege yesterday to combat prejudice. I saw so many videos and, you know, white people speaking out, denouncing white supremacy and denouncing, you know, these white devils of our community. So salute to all the good white people out there, all the allies. Drop one of those bombs for y'all, damn it.
Being silent is not a good thing to do right now.
Nope.
You gotta speak out.
All right, well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news is next. His future mask off is the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the front page news. Let's talk Donald Trump.
Yes, Donald Trump has finally denounced, under public pressure, the white supremacists and the violence that took place in Charlottesville,
please.
Virginia.
That's like asking your wife to asking your girl to marry her after you get caught cheating. So you get caught cheating.
Our relationship's not that good. Yeah, why would we get married?
Exactly.
All right, well, here is what Donald Trump had to say.
Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
Now, Donald Trump tweeted out after this, made additional remarks on Charlottesville, and realized once again that the fake news media will never be satisfied. Truly bad people.
Because I just don't understand why it took you 24 hours to come to that conclusion. You might as well have been winking at the camera. 48 hours.
That's bad press. He was pressured for that.
Yeah, you might as well have been winking at the camera or had your fingers crossed behind your back as you was giving that speech. I really feel like that's like, imagine you cheat on your girl, and she's mad. And then you're like, hey, will you marry me to try to make everything better?
All right. In the meantime, there were all kinds of protests going down in different cities, and protesters pulled down a Confederate statue in North Carolina.
Beautiful.
It was the Confederate Soldiers Monument, and they gathered around there, and they pulled that down, and they said, "We are the revolution." They pulled that rope, and everybody erupted in cheers. The governor was not happy about that. They said the racism and deadly violence in Charlottesville is unacceptable, but there is a better way to remove these monuments. Meanwhile, at Texas A&M, they were planning to have a White Lives Matter protest that was going to take place on 9/11, and that was directly because of what happened in Charlottesville, and that has since been canceled. Now, at first, the university said they have free speech rights, they could do that, but now they have stopped the rally because it is linked to the violence in Charlottesville.
Yeah, I know they have, like, you know, right to assemble and free speech and all that, but why would you let them organize a hate rally? Like, you know, at the end of the day, this is a hate rally. So why would you let them organize that?
Now, their agenda, according to the organizer, is because young white people are just sick and tired of the liberal agenda of pushing white guilt down their throat. They said that white lives now don't matter. They violated our First Amendment rights.
Stop
whites
it.
Are now in the 1960s. Do we have to sit in the back of the bus?
That's crazy.
First of all, this is not about conservative or liberal. This is not about Republican or Democrat. This is not about left or right. This is about good and evil, right and wrong, God and Satan, period. So you got to ask yourself, what side of history do you want to be on?
You know, that was the first thing my mother said yesterday. I was in Queens, and she was like, I don't understand why they would give them the permit and let them even protest. She was like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Nah.
She said, why would they do that?
But it's like inciting a riot.
Absolutely.
You already know what's going to happen. And one family actually disowned their son, Pete Tuft, from Fargo, North Dakota. He was identified on Yes, You're Racist as one of the marchers
in
the Charlottesville rally. And their father actually wrote an open letter. We have been silent up until now, but now we see this was a mistake. And
yes,
he said it was the silence of good people that allowed the Nazis to flourish the first time around.
Yes.
And it is the silence of good people that is allowing them to flourish now. Peter Tuft, my son, is not welcome at our family gatherings any longer. I pray my prodigal son will renounce his hateful beliefs and return home. Then and only then will I lay out the feast.
That's all I've been trying to tell these good white people. You have to use your privilege to combat prejudice. That's it. That's it. You got to denounce white supremacy. That's it.
All
right. Salute to y'all.
Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Now, when we come back, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset and you need to vent, hit us up right now. Or maybe you just feel positive. You want to spread some positivity. Phone lines are wide open. 800-585-1051. And shout to our station in Memphis. I spoke to the PD, Devin, yesterday. He says he supports us and he has our back, man. He said he loves the show. I just had a random conversation with him yesterday. So shout
That's
to
nice.
Devin in our Memphis
Thank you,
station.
Devin.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial. This is your
time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Biggs.
Biggs, why you mad?
I'm mad because they let Uber and Lyft come here and take over, and it's some bullshit.
No,
you must be a taxi driver.
He's a taxi driver. You can't curse, though. But you know what? I ain't going to lie. I've been seeing how much we pay for things now, and it seems like the taxi driver's been raping us, bro. Like,
yeah,
prices
are cheaper.
It ain't cheaper.
It's not. Okay, they got a charge thing. Like, they might take you somewhere, it'd be $10. But if they don't got no cab in the area, they might win you $26. The same call with them going back.
For instance, to go to Manhattan to the airport to take a yellow cab is $80. Uber, $45.
Yeah, but if they don't got no cab there, it's going to cost you $95.
This is the problem with cabs. Cabs aren't on demand like Uber and Lyft are, sir. Like, I can just go on my phone anywhere in the country.
Although they do have an app for cabs as well.
But let me say this. You know how y'all do y'all job. You know the work you put in to get where you at.
Yes, sir.
Imagine they just took people off the street and put them in there and they cut your money.
Nah, listen, I feel you. I heard the drivers don't get paid that well, too.
Hey, what, Uber and Lyft?
Yeah.
I think they get a percentage, and they could also get tips. But I just know it's a lot cheaper. The yellow cabs come down in prices, it wouldn't be a problem. And the yellow cabs are always dirty, filthy, and stinky.
But mine is, I'm a owner-operator, and I keep mine clean.
Sir, I respect the cabs, and I salute the cabs at all times.
I don't think it's fair. We got to have a medallion. And they don't have to have a medallion.
I would get rid of my yellow cab and get me an Uber,
I think you should be an Uber driver or a Lyft driver, sir. I think it's over for the cab, sir. Come on. You're holding on to a black and white TV right now, sir.
It's too expensive,
y'all,
man.
Y'all are pay phones.
I hate you, bro.
It's over,
man. You
got to
get with the time.
If they start bringing people in who don't know what they're doing and putting them where you fit, you won't feel the same.
Sir, evolve or die. That's all it boils down to. Evolve or die, sir.
I don't know if you know, but we got to stay relevant to make sure we can stay in this spot. You got to change that car up, bro.
Yeah, because trust me, as soon as we become yellow cabs, they're going to get us out of here.
Yeah.
But I respect you for hanging in there.
Ty, good morning.
Good morning. What's good?
What's up, man? Are you blessed this morning? Why are you blessed?
I am blessed. I'm thankful to have another day. I'm just happy, man. I want to spread this positive energy out to the world.
There you go.
All right, go ahead.
We need that right now. Thank you.
Thank y'all for letting me speak to y'all this morning. Good morning, Charlamagne. Good morning, DJ Envy. Good morning, Angela Yee. I got them all right. Thank you, God.
There you go. Have a good morning, bro.
You too. Thank y'all.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Or if you feel positive, hit us up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Get it. Pick up the mother phone and dial.
Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah.
Erin, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good morning. Why are you mad this morning, Erin?
Well, because I work for a juvenile detention center. I've been doing stuff like this for a long time. I've seen how it really is, and I'm white myself. And okay. I've grown up, you know, I've had the reverse racism, and that is a real thing. And I'm still more on the lines of, like, unified. Like, we got to think on a different level. And the whole cracker comments and stuff like that, that's never bothered me. And I've grown up in a good neighborhood. I've grown up in a bad neighborhood. I choose to live in, like, a lower income area because I don't take welfare. Like, I'm going to be where I am, and I'm going to rise up. Just like anybody else needs to. And I just look at it from the perspective of, like, if you don't want to be referred to in all areas in a negative term, then don't act like it.
There you go, baby.
You know what I'm saying?
That's it. And, you know, I want people to understand that when I use the term cracker, it's not for all white people. It's specifically for racist, bigoted, prejudiced white people. So I respect and salute white people like you who are allies and good people who are denouncing
but,
that.
Them. But if people are offended the by it, they can call up and say why they're offended, and he can, you know, say why he says it. You know, but they have that right to be offended if they want.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is like, I've had a lot of friends. I've had conversations, black people. I'm more friends with black people than I am with pretty much any other culture. But that's just how I've been my whole life. And my thing is like, the friends that I have that are white, they actually are like, look, you know, we deal with a lot of stuff where we gotta prove who we are because of all the other white people that act stupid.
Yep.
And that's not right. But that's not right either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all get mad when somebody calls you the N-word, but at the same time, like, you can't get mad if you're sitting here doing it to each other. Like, don't do that. That's degrading yourself. So, like, when I work with my kids here at the detention center, I'm like, I don't want to hear y'all talking to each other like that. Like, y'all should be building each other up. I respect that.
We should be building each other
you're
up.
Right.
But don't be calling me no N-word.
Right.
Regardless.
But that's
how I feel.
Like,
I get offended if somebody calls me N-word.
Right. But it shouldn't be said, period. Like, it's negative term. Like, that's going back ages. And y'all don't even know what y'all are saying. You know what I'm saying?
I fight with that one all the time. I think that we should refer to ourselves as gods and queens and kings and such. But I do want to say thank you for your allyship, my white sister.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Keep up the good fight, boo.
Thank you, mama. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Or if you feel blessed, you can always hit us up. We got rumors on the way?
Yes, we will be talking about Netflix. Find out who they just signed on. And we'll be pretty excited about this, although we'll be sad to see her go. And we'll be discussing drugs. Find out who was caught with 5 drugs found in their system.
Future.
Okay.
We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
J N V Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Shonda Rhimes.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the rumor report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Shonda Rhimes is out of there. She is leaving ABC and she's going to Netflix.
Drop on the clues bombs for Shonda Rhimes, damn it.
Janelle Cheke.
Tell these people some of the shows Shonda Rhimes has done, ye.
Grey's Anatomy,
yes.
Scandal, How to
yes.
Get Away with Murder.
Yes.
So, huge. It's going to be a big deal for Netflix. Obviously, she's getting paid more. We don't know how much she's getting. Now, those shows that she's already done will remain airing on ABC, but she's going to be developing new projects that will only be for Netflix.
Netflix had to back up the Brinks truck. They probably gave her a big advance, and she's probably getting so much more on the back end than she was getting at ABC. But ABC is a fool for letting Shonda Rhimes go. But maybe she wanted to leave.
Yeah,
who knows?
She felt like going, and it was a better situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
Either way, she'll be fine. She's Shonda Rhimes. Drop on the clues bombs for Shonda Rhimes again. She can't lose.
Well, we've seen Tiger Woods' toxicology reports now. We told you about his DUI. Remember when he was pulled over and he was trying to do the test to see if he was under the influence of anything?
Mm-hmm.
And clearly he was. Well, they did find 5 different drugs in his system.
Lord have mercy.
At the time of his DUI.
What type of drugs, though?
Painkillers.
Okay.
They did find THC, which is what's in marijuana. And he had some sleeping pills. He had all kinds of Xanax. He had hydrocodone. He had hydromorphone, which is a painkiller as well. So he had said previously that was an unexpected reaction to prescription medication. And he didn't mention the weed. But apparently you cannot drive taking sleeping pills, painkillers.
Tiger Woods had 5 different drugs in him?
Yes.
He must have been heard of.
Most of them prescription except for the weed.
He had more than the mask on. He had the whole armor of Future on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
They said he was listening to Future when he got pulled over.
I believe that.
No, I'm kidding.
I believe
that. Tiger Woods does not listen to Future.
How you know Tiger Woods don't listen to Future?
He doesn't strike me as a Future
fan. He might.
I need to know what kind of music Tiger Woods is getting high to. If I had one question to ask Tiger Woods right now, I'd be like, Tiger, what was you riding to when you was as high as you were?
Taylor Swift is what he was listening to.
No, it might have been Future.
Well, no, but Taylor Swift is the next story. And Taylor Swift just got awarded $1 in her countersuit against the former DJ David Mueller, who she says grabbed her butt during a meet and greet after a concert in Denver back in 2013.
$1?
Yeah, so basically he was suing her for defamation, saying that her allegations cost him his job. He got fired after this whole thing happened where she said that he grabbed her butt.
Mm-hmm.
And then she countersued him for $1 just on principle. So she actually won the $1. So not only is he out of a job, and they threw out his case against her, saying he never proved during the trial that she directly made him lose his job. She also got awarded that $1 and won her countersuit.
So Taylor Swift won?
Yeah, she won.
Oh, that's good. That's
she won that part of it, right?
It was a countersuit against him.
Okay.
So he was suing her for defamation. That's how it all started, because he lost his job. She said he grabbed her butt.
Mm.
He lost his job. He said it was defamation. That's why he lost his job. And then she countersued him for his suit against her for $1.
I just want I just want to tell all my fellas out there, man, you know, you should not be putting your hands on any girl's butt if that girl is not your wife or your girlfriend. But if you're going to risk it all, don't risk it all for Taylor Swift's butt. Because there ain't no butt there.
Well, I'm sure you guys have all seen that picture circulating from a while ago when this whole thing was happening, where if you have Revolt TV, you can see it.
That is the picture right there?
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Yeah, he's definitely grabbing a butt.
Or
grabbing where the butt should be.
But you got to have balls to do that. Like, could you imagine somebody coming? You got to have a lot of balls to grab.
She didn't say nothing in the moment? That's Taylor Swift, I'm sure.
She said it.
She said, she said something after, right after they took the picture, and she said something.
Wow. Yeah. He got balls.
He got some balls.
He does have...
Well,
in his defense, that's where the butt should be. So maybe he put his hand on her lower back, and he was like, damn, she got a long back. Just keep going. Her back just keep going and going and going and going.
Don't you body shame her now after she's a victim.
You should have been his attorney.
That's a good defense.
Issued a statement.
I didn't know where his back
was. She said, I want to thank Judge William J. Martinez and the jury for their careful consideration. And anyone who feels silenced by a sexual assault, and especially anyone who offered their support through this four-year ordeal, she said, I acknowledge the privilege that I benefit from in life, in society, and in my ability to shoulder the enormous cost of defending myself in a trial like this. My hope is to help those whose voices should also be heard.
Yeah, I mean, come on. The guy was dead wrong. I mean, in a picture. You clearly see where his hand is. And
there's
she checked you immediately
definitely
after.
Definitely evidence.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right, Yee, we got front page news when we come back.
Of course, we're talking about Donald Trump. He has finally issued a statement that is a little bit stronger, but I don't believe it.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to front page news. Let's talk your president, Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump, after more than 2 days, has spoken out condemning hate groups after the violence that went down in Charlottesville, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Here is what Donald Trump had to say.
Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK,
wink,
neo-Nazis,
wink,
white supremacists,
wink,
and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
Drop on a clues bomb for Donald Trump reading that teleprompter to a T, sticking to the script.
Now, a lot of people still weren't happy, and he tweeted out, made additional remarks on Charlottesville, and realized once again that the fake news media will never be satisfied. Truly bad people.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It's like cheating on your girl. And then she's mad, so you turn around and ask her to marry her. And then she says no. And then you get mad again and go, what do you want me to do then? I asked you to marry me.
Well, on 9/11, there was supposed to be a White Lives Matter protest at Texas A&M. But the university, which had earlier said free speech rights, is now saying that rally cannot go down because of the links to the violence in Charlottesville. And that whole entire protest was supposed to directly be linked to what happened in Charlottesville. So now it's not happening. Now that rally was planned because young white people are just sick and tired of the liberal agenda of pushing white guilt down their throat. And according to the organizers, they said white lives don't matter. They violated our First Amendment rights. Whites are now in the 1960s. Do we have to sit in the back of the bus?
First of all, if this was whites in the 1960s, they would not be sitting in the back of the bus. Okay, that's number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, this isn't about conservative or liberal or left and right or Republican, Democrat. It's about right and wrong, good and evil, God and Satan. What side of history do you want to be on?
Now, one man, Pete Taft, who actually marched in Charlottesville and is one of the racist people that was out there, and they had him on video just talking about his different beliefs. They outed him on at Yes, You're Racist. And now his family is saying that he is disowned and not welcome at any of the family events. An open letter from his father actually said that he repudiates their son's vile, hateful, and racist rhetoric and actions. He said, we do not know specifically where he learned those beliefs. He did not learn them at home. He said, my son is not welcome in our family gatherings any longer. I pray my prodigal son will renounce his hateful beliefs and return home. Then and only then will I lay out the feast.
I'm glad they did that.
I just find it funny that that dude said that whites are now in the 1960s. Do you know how America was in the 1960s?
He must not know.
Do y'all, like, what position do y'all think white people were in the 1960s?
My mom said the real estate. My mom said she still just doesn't understand why they would get the permits to be able to protest. Like, you know what that's going to breed. You know what that's going to bring. Like, why?
Give them they're saying permit. It's free speech. But the whole thing is that when you have a situation where you're inciting a riot, which is what this does, they shouldn't be allowed to do that.
All I know is I want to salute all the white people that I see out here using their privilege to combat prejudice. You know, it's a lot of people who are not standing with these devils. They are denouncing these devils. They are condemning these crack-ass crackers. And I salute all these good white people that are doing that, okay?
Shout out to everybody in Charlottesville, Virginia, too, that rise with us and support us and hit us yesterday with so much support on social media and calling and DM and emailing us. We definitely appreciate it, and we see all the love. Thank you.
I'm telling you, being silent is a cosign. Like, if you're being silent right now and you see all of this injustice that's happening, to me, that's just a cosign. Because guess what? You benefit from white supremacy. And white supremacy is not a thing that any marginalized or oppressed group has to clean up. White people made that mess. They got to clean it up.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Now, when we come back from Basketball Wives, we have Jackie Christie. Now,
the reunion was on last night, and people were going crazy talking about that. I saw Evelyn's tweets this morning.
There's a lot about that. Her and Evelyn been beefing, so we'll talk about that.
I don't watch that show, but I'm going to fake it.
All right. Also,
and Evelyn's
her
had a lot of drama, yes, with her daughter, Takari.
Mm-hmm. Did they fight?
Her daughter's not on the show.
Jackie's the one that keep her husband on the leash, right?
Yes.
Doug Christie.
Yes.
Yeah. Ex-basketball player.
But he appears to want to be on that leash.
He definitely appears to want to be on that leash. Mm-hmm. He don't even know he's free. He like an elephant. Like, you know how you lock an elephant up? Like, if you know if you unchain the elephant still won't move? Like, you ever heard of the elephant in the fire theory? Google it. It's a good thing.
Well, apparently he loves his wife and he doesn't mind having her around everywhere.
You never heard the elephant in the fire theory where you keep an elephant chained up? So even when you unchain him and you set a fire, the elephant still won't move because he still think he got the chains on him?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's
Google
like
it.
Panopticism.
I don't know what that means.
All right.
Sounds like a Disney character.
Jackie Christie, when we come back, it's a Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club, and we got a special guest in the building, Miss Jackie Christie.
Hey. Oh, man, Jackie Christie from Basketball Wives. You've been in the Rumor Report a lot lately.
I know. Isn't that something? And it ain't all good. But yeah. That's okay, though.
Now, Evelyn is back this season, and so is Jennifer.
Yeah.
And that's been some drama for you, because you and Evelyn have been butting heads.
Mm-hmm.
And so where does all of this stem from?
You know what? When I met Evelyn a long time ago, it was just in passing, and I kind of knew of her. She knew of me. Then when all that happened with my daughter and she donated money, everybody started hitting me up. Oh, my God, Jackie, she's trying to get on the show. You know, she ain't really got nothing going on. She's coming for you. And I'm thinking, why is she coming for me? Her and my daughter's relationship is totally separate from me, so... She ain't coming for me, but when she joined the show, I gave her the benefit of the doubt. We met at Shawnee's party. I said, is this what you came for? She said, no. I said, okay, cool. I'm glad to know you came under better pretenses. And then as the season went on, I started seeing what she really was there for.
Now, let's discuss the whole thing with Evelyn and your daughter. So your daughter had a son,
mm-hmm.
and the son was burned in the daycare center,
mm-hmm.
right? And she started a GoFundMe account,
mm-hmm.
and Evelyn donated to that account.
Right.
Did she know your daughter prior to that?
No. Evelyn does not know my daughter. She didn't know her. And my daughter actually is now saying she didn't start it. Some other person started it. So it's really a web of lies and just mess. And I try to stay out of it. That's why I really didn't say much. And I said my one statement at the beginning, and that was if my daughter had have called me and asked me for money when I was on TMZ, she would have gotten the money. But I had already been giving her money. I give her money. I take care of her. So it wasn't about the money.
Now, how old is your daughter for people who don't
she's
know?
She's 28.
Mm-hmm.
28 years old.
Why is she estranged?
You know, it's her choice. Mm-hmm. I love her, Charmaine. I mean, I love all my kids. I've always spoiled them. They've always lived a privileged life. And it ain't about the material thing. It's about me not having a lot when I was little. And when I grew up and was successful, I made sure they had everything they needed and wanted. And I guess I just was a little too overprotective and gave them a little too much.
Now, is she the only one not from Doug Christie?
Yes.
Could it be that feeling, like she feels like she is not really connected?
And she has expressed that that is how she feels.
That's
that
right.
She gets like the other children have favoritism over her.
That's what she feels, and it's never been. And I even, you know, I'm the type of person, I'll ignore a lot of the hate. I've been getting hated on my whole life. But I decided, let me post her life a little bit so y'all can see. As you see, everything is the same with all my children. They're all my kings and queens. So it's unfortunate Kari feels that way. I'll keep loving her. I'm her mother. I'm not going to throw her under the bus. There's a lot I could do, a lot I could do to dispel a lot of this, but it would be putting her out there.
How does Doug treat her?
Loves her. Treat her like she was his own. That's why it hurts his heart right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very upset. He don't even want to talk about it. Like, you know, when it first started coming out 6 years ago, you know, he cried. He said, this is... not the daughter I raised. I tried to be the best father to her. I don't know why she's acting this way and doing this. And then he just took a back seat.
When did she start feeling that way? At what age?
She started acting up probably about 6 years ago. She started doing this.
So she's about 21, 22?
Yeah, probably right around when she started having kids and being with this guy she's with. And, you know, she wanted more. He wants more. You know, well, your parents got this. And won't they buy you a Range Rover? Why they buy you a Toyota? Mm. That type of thing. It's like, that's a brand new car.
Did you buy the other kids Range Rovers and just her the Toyota?
No, okay. She was her, the first one. And I was like, I'm not going to buy you. You don't even know how to drive. I'm not going to go out and buy you a Range Rover.
What kind of cars do the other kids have?
they may not be
Rangers, but they might be better than Toyota.
My son isn't even driving age yet. He's only 15, 16. And then Shani has a sports car, but it's, you know, she just got it like, it's like a Chrysler, but it's like a 2016 or something, 15. Her dad bought it for her, but we waited till she was 22, 23 years old, you know, and she earned it. And Takari, we gave her one at 18.
Is Takari in Doug's will?
Yeah.
Takari has even said that
Takari
Doug
gets $8 million.
Takari has even said that Doug has always.
Excuse me.
If Doug or I was to pass, Takari gets $8 million.
That's a good lump sum.
Maybe she wants me to pass. I don't know.
No, don't
Does
say that.
Does she know that?
Yeah.
Oh, but
what do the other kids get?
$8 million.
Oh, it's good.
And it ain't
off
a lot, but I mean, it's...
That's a lot of money.
It's ridiculous.
That's a lot of money.
But here's the thing. You did post that she did wish you a happy Mother's Day, mm-hmm. you know, just this year. So you think that it's the people around her influencing her to...
Definitely. Kari, not only did she wish me a happy Mother's Day, Kari and I talk on the phone like any mother and daughter. We giggle, we laugh, we talk about her relationship. I'm like, Kari, what is going on? Why is all this on the internet? Won't you stop it? Mom, I don't know why they doing that. It ain't me. It ain't me. That's what she says. I have proof. So it's kind of like, you know, the Kari that I'm dealing with, my daughter, is a whole different person than this internet garbage that's out there.
Did you know your grandson was burnt?
Mm-hmm. She called me and told me. I was in Atlanta doing a play, and she called and told me what happened, and I was going to come there. And she was like, no, he's fine, Mom. He's bandaged up. The baby's dad was there. His parents were there. I'm like, okay. She was like, I'll give you pictures. I'll keep you up to date. So we were talking constantly. Mm-hmm. I was like, do you need anything? She was like, no, I'm
so fine. You didn't know she needed money or allegedly needed money?
She didn't need money. On top of the daycare being at fault, paying for everything, that wasn't it. And when the GoFund came out, when Evelyn did donate, it had been out for months before she did that. Mm-hmm. They made it go viral after me and Doug got married in the show. We did it on VH1 in Portugal. So it was a big deal. Kari wasn't at the wedding. She felt some type of way, but she had just had a baby. Right. So, you know what I mean? And I had offered for her to come. Yeah, of course. She's invited to all my weddings.
So is it one of those things where they know y'all got money, so they're like, why your grandson got a GoFundMe? Y'all got money.
That's
you
exactly.
But I was wondering when I seen it, doesn't she have health insurance?
Yes.
Usually the hospital, you don't need money. You know,
that's right.
Usually even... I know my daughter just had a $22,000 bill when she was sick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But regardless, only had to pay 10%.
That's right.
Which is $2,000. So I was wondering what money would she need if she had health insurance.
That's exactly right. And on top of that, the daycare was paying everything.
Right.
You know, it's their fault. He was in their care. So I'm going, why are you guys making this? This is my daughter. I love my grandson. I love all my kids and their kids. But you're making it like it's me and attacking me. And what am I supposed to do? Whatever they need, I'm here.
Why didn't you donate to the GoFundMe, though?
I'm not going to never donate to a GoFundMe. I mean, publicly, why would I need to do that when you can call me and I can go to Western Union or I could go and cash app you like I've been doing for 28 years?
That would be weird for your mom to donate to your own GoFundMe.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense.
But you said your daughter didn't create that. She said somebody else created that.
Somebody,
so do we know where that money went? Or?
Yeah, well, she ended up with $19,000, $17,000, something like that. And I heard that it went to tennis shoes and
oh, so your daughter did
weed. And oh, yeah.
We
she got it, and yeah, everybody else got it, you know, and that's what hurt my feelings because it's like the public.
That's
I will never mislead the public. Well, it's not
truth.
No, and it's not throwing my daughter. It wasn't hers. It was the
she
people
said somebody
she's
else
around,
started a GoFundMe,
you know, and gotcha. It was them that spent the money. It wasn't even, you know, it didn't even really go to my grandson.
Oh, so your daughter never got none of that money?
She got it in her hands, but they
took it from.
It got spent all up, is what I'm hearing. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't ask her. We've talked a lot of times since then, and. You know, she's in a good mood whenever I talk to her. So that's why it's shocking to me when I wake up to tweets and garbage on the internet. I just got to the point now where I just block it out.
So your daughter has terrible influences around her.
Terrible. Terrible. And I'm just going to be real with that. And that's not the one under the bus. That's keeping it real.
All right, we have more with Jackie Christie from Basketball Wives when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. We are the Breakfast Club from Basketball Wives. Jackie Christie still hanging out with us. Yee.
Do you watch Basketball Wives, like, when it comes on? And so when you watch everything that's happening and the editing, do you feel like it's fair to you?
I don't watch their parts, some of the rude stuff the girls say, because I'm an emotional person. And if I watch it, and it bothers me. So mm-hmm. I fast forward through their parts, but I hear about what they've said. I love the parts that I'm in. You only can edit what I give you. You know what I mean? Right. So I've never been one to say, oh my God, Shed or VH1 f***ed me up and they edited it wrong. I have seen certain things where it might have happened before this scene, but it's playing different. And I understand that. That's doing a television show. I'm a producer. So I get it. You know, I understand that.
Jeez, it has to be such a burden to be on that show, because sometimes I'm watching it and I'm like, man, there's a lot of arguing, a lot of back and forth. But then, you know, there's the nice things that happen, like relationships that get repaired. Yeah. I didn't think you in Malaysia would ever be, and she's coming to your defense, you know, a lot. So that has to feel good, that at least you feel like you formed some real friendships and relationships from the show.
And I do. And it's good for Malaysia and I to finally be at a place where we really respect each other. We're both Leos. My trust level is very low with people because they always smile and do this. And then next thing you know, they, you know, trying to cut your throat.
Mm-hmm. But what about Shawnee and you now? Because Shawnee's not 100% sure that you guys are friends.
I laugh only because I was surprised this season how it played out. I thought me and her was tighter than that. And I don't think that we're not tight. I just feel like she got caught up. She brought Evelyn. I think they had intention for Evelyn to come and do all this big old stuff. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And Evelyn felt, I'm going to go and I'm going to tear Jackie down. And that's going to be my storyline and build me up. And it just didn't pop off like that. So I think Shawnee was shocked. She didn't expect me to go as hard as I did on Evelyn, because usually I just let people say whatever. Call me crazy, lie, do whatever y'all want to do, and I'll keep launching my businesses and doing me. That came to a halt this season. So I think that put a strain on me and Shawnee, and where we at now, if people tune into the reunion, they're going to see.
Man,
it seems like everybody who goes against Shawnee winds up getting kicked off the show, though.
I mean, it's her show.
Not to throw Shawnee under the bus, people blame her as being the person to hire and fire. Shawnee don't hire and fire. She don't. That ain't my employer. Mm. I'm hired by Viacom, VH1, and Shed. That's what cuts my checks. Mm-hmm. Shawnee is a cast member to me, and that's why when people ask me, do you feel uncomfortable with, you know, the executive producer being on the show? I'm like, no, because I'm an executive producer. So, okay. You know what I mean?
Are you in the show, too?
Not of that show, my show.
Okay, gotcha.
So I just feel like with Shawnee, you know, all due respect to her and stuff, she's doing her thing.
But
and
she has some influence, I'm sure.
She's
a creator. She created.
Jackie Shawnee got a lot of influence.
Nah, I'm going to tell you. I'm not saying she don't. I'm not. I'm saying you don't have influence in nothing on my life. Mm. But on her thing, no. That'll never happen. Don't kid yourself.
Shawnee, no. Challenge!
Shawnee O'Neal would not do that, because Shawnee O'Neal knows who Jackie
You'll
is.
Stab her in the neck too?
No, she knows. No, Shawnee, she's a businesswoman at the end of the day, and I wouldn't want to get me fired if I was her.
So you say you make the show. You part of it.
Oh, I am the show.
Woo!
I mean, I'm not even being... And anybody you ask would say that, and I'm not saying it in a cocky sort of way. Yes, I'm saying it in a way of... No. Being a reality star, I understand what it takes to be on a show like this, and I bring everything. I'm transparent. I get it. I live and breathe it. I was born to do what I do, and that's why it's natural.
People that say Tammy make the show.
Tammy is awesome. Evelyn. Me and Tammy together, that's my tag team partner. Long. So yeah, Tammy, that's my
baby. What about Evelyn?
Baby. Evelyn is
Well, Jackie,
Evelyn needs to go back to obscurity.
When Shawnee fires you, will you come back up here and talk to us about it?
when Shawnee fires me, I would love to come and talk to you guys about it, because that would be the day that I launch my own show, and then all the viewers will go with me.
You hate Evelyn like that, though?
Oh, I Evelyn.
Now, let me ask you this, though. You see Evelyn's going through a lot, because now it's come out that she's no longer engaged, and she's been broken up.
Poor baby.
For quite some time. Were you aware of that, or is this something that you just found out as the rest of us found out that...
Okay, I have to be honest, you guys. I can't lie. I said I wouldn't do it. If I'm going to talk, I'm going to talk for real. I had heard about it. The streets was talking some time ago. So that's what else pissed me off. It's like you're on my show, basically, on the show that I've cultivated, meaning I've been here the whole time, me in Malaysia, and now you're up here perpetrating. You want to do all this and have kids and do all that. I'm not saying she don't, but you're falsifying things for the public image. And you tearing my family down at the same time. But see, I never tried to hurt her and go at her like that. So I just want to make that clear. If I was trying to hurt these women, there's things I could do.
What about you and Jennifer? Do you guys get along?
Who is that?
Jennifer's on the show, too.
Is she? With Jennifer now.
Jennifer's on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She was one of the guest appearances on the show this season. Okay.
Because they were first seasoners on Best of Wives.
That's how we are. Yeah. Jennifer, to me, is Miami and... You know.
Mm-hmm. When Jackie says you know, she don't want to get disrespectful.
I don't want to be disrespectful.
Can you and Evelyn ever make up?
That would be hard, Angela.
Because there's a lot of people in that show I never thought you would be cool with.
Yeah, but Evelyn, she took it to another level. Like, I ain't never saw black like I saw black with her, meaning just anger.
But you did say you wanted to stab her daughter, though.
No,
I didn't.
You
never
said
that?
Daughter?
No.
She called her
Build-A-Whore.
Yeah,
but
then you
said...
I thought I wanted
to stab her.
You said,
yeah. Oh, you said you
wanted to
stab
Evelyn. Went, yeah, and she went and got a taser and all of that. I mean, I won't never say never, but I say that it would take a lot, and I'm not going to ever apologize to that girl again. You going to keep f***ing with me. That's why I said I'm going to start f***ing with you now.
If you said you were going to stab me in the neck, I might tase you, too.
Well,
what does Doug say about all of this to you, though? Like, does he watch sometimes and be like, Jackie, you getting out of character now?
No, he was so upset. He didn't watch this season, but he heard about it because, you know, they tag him. And he was like, look, I'm really tiring of this BS. These women need to understand and respect you. You true to this. You're not new to this. You are a basketball wife. You're my wife. And I don't like what I'm hearing. And it's getting to the point where some of them is getting desperate. And they better try to fall back. That's how he feels about it. Same way Tammy's man do.
When did you ever? When did you least loosen up Doug's collar? Like when did you?
When did I take the leash off? No. Yeah. Me and Doug has always, Charmaine, had a great relationship. We just, you know, I think as I grew and we grew together, people just started realizing that she ain't got no leash on him. Doug is doing him, and I'm doing me. We love each other.
You sure you didn't, like, make the leash longer as he got older? Like, he don't got the energy to go out there and run around like he used to.
No, Charmaine, he fine as hell. Sex is good. He's doing his thing. He's successful. He's commentating. He's traveling with the team still. So he's still doing the same things he was doing. He's just not on the court, but he's doing everything else.
Charmaine.
I can't pronounce it. Sorry. You know, Charmaine. I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Charmaine.
Hold on. Well, Ms. Jackie, Christy, we appreciate you for joining us.
Thank you.
And good luck. You know,
we're
going to
be watching
help.
The reunions.
We need to get your daughter help. I know she's grown up and she wants to be on her own, but if she's that way bipolar, you should really get her some help. Try to.
Yeah, I've tried everything and I'm going to continue the rest of my life.
And definitely. I'm telling you, she got really bad people around her. They're plotting on killing you right now because they know they can get $8 million.
There it is.
I'm dead serious.
And I shouldn't have probably said that, so retract that. But, I mean, I'm just an honest person. I'm sorry.
Jeez, all right. Well, it's the Breakfast Jackie. Club. It's Miss Jackie Christie.
Thank you.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, people don't like Jackie Christie, huh?
She's not the nicest on the show.
Yeah, I don't watch the show, but I'm looking at a bunch of my comments. They really do not like Jackie Christie. They really don't. They don't feel like it's her show. And right. I said her daughter. I'm not getting involved in that. I see. Listen,
you almost
go
got
ahead,
Charlamagne.
Tell
it.
Spill I definitely the tea. Almost asked you something, but then I thought, why do I care? Spill the tea. No, they say keep saying her daughter. One of her daughters confirmed that she used to treat the older daughter bad. Oh, yeah, the other daughter.
Did she? The older daughter confirmed
her? I'm not getting distracted by this. I'm not done.
All right, well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk about Charlamagne's mama.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Oprah talked to Vogue magazine, and she actually detailed her 6 weeks that she dealt with depression. She said, I shall never forget Saturday morning, October 17th, I got a call from someone at the studio, and they said, it's over. You got beat by Chucky. And I said, who's Chucky? What do you mean it's over? It's just Saturday morning. And she was talking about when she put out her movie, Beloved. So I guess the movie really was a flop. It didn't do well.
Chucky the doll?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she can't be Chucky, though. Chucky, that was a huge movie.
Negro, please. She said it was 10 o'clock in the morning, and I said to her personal chef, I would like macaroni and cheese for breakfast. And she said, and so began my long plunge into food and depression and suppressing all my feelings. She said that depression lasted around 6 weeks. I actually started to think maybe I really am depressed because it's more than I feel bad about this. I felt like I was behind a veil. I felt like what many people had described over the years on my show, and I could never imagine it. What's depression? Why don't you just pick yourself up? Oprah, it's called a loss. Every now and then people take those, okay? That's what happens. That's what happens, Mother O. I know one thing, though. If I turned to my personal chef, I would not be depressed. Yeah. Hey, personal chef, could you whip me up some comfort food, please? And that's why I always say, either. Though, we never know what people are going through because she did deal with this. And fortunately for her, she was able to recognize the signs because she's had so many people on her show that have discussed it. She said, it taught me to never again put all of your hopes, expectations, eggs in the basket of box office. Do the work as an offering, and then whatever happens, happens. That's interesting. I was listening to her podcast this morning. She was interviewing the author, The Alchemist. I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not even going to attempt to. But she was saying how she still feels like she hasn't, she worries about not fulfilling her ultimate purpose. Like, she feels like she's gotten,
one of her purposes done, but not her ultimate purpose, she said.
Right. Well, Oprah, you know, people never realize, even you might look at her and say, oh, she's successful. She's got hundreds of millions of dollars. But like I said, just because you have money doesn't mean you're necessarily happy.
Absolutely.
In general.
Okay. I'll take Oprah's.
What? Money? What?
Unhappiness.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, little Uzi Vert versus Kodak Black. Now, remember, Kodak Black said this on his Instagram Live.
I am not like the other. I don't even listen to Uzi. You in the booty. They confusing the community.
Listen, man, I ain't want no rumbles. I ain't want no screws. I ain't want no messy bags. Still a purse.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, I go Kodak Black sounding like lawn equipment again.
Well, little Uzi Vert on his own Instagram Live then responded when one of his fans asked him about the comments from Kodak Black, and here's what he said.
What I think about Kodak, that's one of my classmates on the Double XL. We Kodak. Well, because he was rapping, he said that. And I ain't poor. Like, you all, if I was poor, that would have got to me. If I was poor, I would have had all day to think about that.
All right.
That's the mentality Oprah should have whenever she get depressed. If I was poor, I'd have all day to think about that.
All right, now let's get into Insecure. Of course, I actually held off on doing this story because I hadn't seen the episode. I watched it last night.
Great episode, right? Dropping the clues bomb for the legend, Lawrence. Lawrence just building on his legacy at this point.
Well, hopefully he doesn't have an STD. Now, that was one of the main issues is that you don't see no condoms. I have to tell you, I was watching the scene. And he meets two women in a grocery store, goes home.
Tell the story now. You ain't giving Lawrence all his props now.
He's in the grocery store.
After he got out of a ticket.
Right.
Okay.
He made an illegal U-turn. Mm-hmm. He got stopped by a cop, didn't end up getting a ticket, goes to the grocery store.
Them two girls paid for his alcohol.
His credit card fell out of his wallet, so he didn't have the money to pay for the grocery.
Give Lawrence all his stats.
The two girls online behind him was like, oh, we'll pay for it. It was $46 or something.
There you go.
So he ends up going back to their house because they, I guess, thought he was cute.
There you go. Give him all his numbers. Give him his numbers.
So he went to a stranger's house and had sex, no condom.
With who?
Two.
Both of them.
Well, no, the second one he tried, it didn't really work out.
It don't matter. Once you're a legend and your legacy solidified, you have nothing to prove.
He did not have sex with both. Actually, he was a little bit embarrassed because after the sex, they both got up and were going to talk about what they were going to go eat. They weren't too impressed with him.
That's fine. Lawrence has nothing to prove.
And they started talking about all the other black guys they had sex with that were better. But anyway, he didn't use a condom. So a lot of people were upset, like, where is there going to be any condoms? Because you don't really see them put on a condom or any of that.
Now, I'm not going to say he didn't use condoms because if you look in the scene, there was Magnums on the dresser.
You look that close?
And also, I think when you go from person to person, you're supposed to switch the condom. But I guess he couldn't get an erection.
For what? They friends?
Anyway, she said, Issa Rae responded, we tend to place condoms in the backgrounds of scenes or imply them, but we hear you guys and we'll do better next season. So, there you go.
And I was thinking about this because I asked this on Twitter. I was like, why didn't I ever use condoms on Insecure? And then people were like, they never use condoms on TVs and movies. And I'm like, that's not true. I could think of some very iconic scenes where condoms were involved. Remember when Kid had the condom in his wallet and the wallet was... The condom was old in House Party.
And then he opened it up and it was all bent. Yeah, he had to go run and get one or something.
Yeah, and American Pie, when I think it was the father was trying to show the son how to use the condom. Like, it's all, I've seen condoms in movies and TV shows before. Seinfeld did a whole episode about condoms.
What about porn?
No.
Nah, I don't really see condoms in porn.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right.
Charlamagne, say the gang, don't get utter shame.
Charlamagne. You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit it with the heat.
Yes, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, August 15th goes the former Raiders icon, Tim Brown. I used to love playing with him in Tecmo Bowl, by the way. Run with Bo Jackson and throw to Tim Brown. Former Green Bay Packer tight end, Jermichael Finley, and CNN commentator Paris Denard. Please hand me my teacup, okay? You know the sunken place is very crowded. It's filled with these delusional Negroes who, for whatever reason, can't see the bigger picture when it comes to the injustices that marginalized and oppressed groups face in this country. Some people think, hey, man, you good. You know, you personally are good, so why ruin that by standing up for other people, okay? If any of our ancestors who came before us thought like that, then none of us would be here today. But anyway, three new entries to the sunken place. First and foremost, Jermichael Finley, who told TMZ Sports that Michael Bennett, Marshawn Lynch, and Colin Kaepernick need to be controversial to stay relevant. Let's hear it.
I think it's more of, you know, I mean, marketing. It's not really in their heart that they really want to do that. But once again, I think it's a selfish reason. I really do. I think go out and play football and do what you're supposed to do and not worry about the worldly things that's going on. It was a marketing tool. You know what I mean? I was on this platform where I can use my name, my face, to get out there, and when hot topics come across, I want to jump on it because it's a marketing tool. It's going to keep you relevant. It's going to keep you hot.
Okay, first of all, Michael Bennett and his brother Martellus, you know, their philanthropy was just recognized at the BET Awards this year. Michael Bennett is donating all of his 2017 endorsement money to charities that support inner city programs. Is he doing that for publicity as well? No. Is he doing that for relevance? Marshawn Lynch always goes back and devotes his time and money to the kids in Oakland. He has an organization called the Fam First Family Foundation, which aims to improve the lives of children by mentoring them on the importance of education, literacy, and self-esteem. He's been doing that for about 10 years now. Is he doing that for selfish reasons as well? Is that just a marketing ploy? And Colin Kaepernick, the guy has given over 700 grand of his own money to 24 different organizations in the past year, and he don't even have a job. Okay, JerMichael, I don't see anything selfish about any of those things those young men are doing, okay? So, JerMichael, I need you to shut the F up forever, please. Now, Tim Brown also was talking to TMZ Sports, and he had this to say about Marshawn Lynch sitting for the national anthem.
He has the perfect thing going on in Oakland. Why bring negativity to this incredible positive situation? So I don't know. I just don't get it. I understand these guys, man. They're trying to make statements and they're trying to, you know, be a part of this world. But football is where people go to get away from all that stuff. Because outside of the stadium, he can do whatever he wants to do.
Tim Brown, y'all don't have CNN in the sunken place? You don't have social media in the sunken place. You don't see what's going on in the world. You have no idea why Marshawn Lynch would be sitting for the national anthem. You think because Marshawn has a positive thing going on in Oakland that he should just ignore what's happening to other black and brown people all across the country, huh? Tim Brown said, I understand these guys, man. They're trying to make statements and they're trying to be a part of this world. Why is Tim Brown talking like he's on another planet? Whatever planet you are on, Tim, where the things happening in this world don't affect you, your family, all your friends, all black and brown people that look like you, you let me know so I can move there. Now, last but not least, Paris Denard, CNN commentator. He's one of those people who will never speak negatively about our celebrity in chief, Donald Trump. Trump can do no wrong in his eyes. According to Paris Denard, Donald Trump always denounces hate groups in America, always denounces white supremacy, even though yesterday was the first time any of us heard him do that. Let's hear what Paris had to say.
The president disavowed back in March. He made a very bold statement 2 days ago, and he clarified the statement and went further today. I have no issue with what the president said, because I think what the president said was correct. When it comes to his associations with Steve Bannon and other people like that, there is no evidence, there are no facts and no proof that Steve Bannon is whispering in his ear, telling him not to disavow, not to say these things, because what we know is the president has disavowed. The president has called these people out and said and called them by name, which is something President Obama did not do after Charleston.
What's that keep ticking noise? Is that us or is
that
them?
That's from Get Out.
That's the teacup.
Yeah.
That's for you too if you need it.
Oh, I'm good.
Now, what the hell is he talking about? Paris Denard, okay? He had the nerve to bring up what Barack didn't say after the Charleston shootings, okay? I am convinced they don't have TVs in the sunken place, because if they did, Paris would have referenced the eulogy President Obama gave in Charleston, where he referenced the racial biases in America and why the Confederate flag should come down, which it did, over the State House in Columbia. Sir, President Obama sang Amazing Grace and summed up the mood of a nation during that speech perfectly. He built bridges that day, something your President Donald Trump could never do because he's too busy building walls. Now, ironically, Cornel West summed it all up perfectly when he was talking to Paris Denard on CNN, because what these brothers don't understand is Michael Bennett, Marshawn Lynch, Colin Kaepernick are all doing things that are bigger than them, okay? See, they don't have to do any of these things they are doing. But when you care more about the betterment of your people and people, period, then you don't care about things like job security. You tend to take those risks, okay? Can we hear what Brother Cornel told Paris that puts a button on this donkey perfectly, please?
This is life and death, man. This ain't no game we playing. This ain't no puzzle for people to keep their jobs. There's human beings out here who are suffering, and we got a neo-fascist movement escalating. And if we can't focus on the truth, then we just give up on the American project and be honest and say we just want to keep our jobs.
Please give the three latest members of The Sunken Place, JerMichael Finley, Tim Brown, and Paris Denard, the biggest hee-haw, please.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you for that donkey today. Now, mm-hmm. when we come back, it's time for Shoot Your Shot. Now, if there's somebody you want to holler at, and you might want a little help, you might need the Breakfast Club on the phone with you while you shoot your shot. We'll do that when we come back, all right? So don't go anywhere. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Time to shoot your shot.
Time to shoot your shot
with the Breakfast Club.
This is your one chance. Don't mess it up. Mess it up. Mess it up. Mess it up. Mess it up.
We have Nyla on the line. Nyla, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what's going on? Who do you want to shoot your shot with?
All right. So I met this guy, Sean, at my brother's graduation. Mm-hmm. And we were talking the whole night. We were really chopping it up. He seemed like my dream guy. But
why?
Because
he got an education?
No, he was just like sweet and funny. He just seemed like, I don't know, the conversation was just unusual. Like, we're talking about like life and the world. He was just like really intellectual, and I don't know, I was just kind of blown away by
it. So
him.
What are you used to talking about with guys? Loving hip hop and, like, you know, what's the latest popping meme on Instagram?
Well, she had an immediate connection, so that's, you know, that's different. Sometimes you don't have those conversations till later on.
And honestly, I've been thinking about him since then. Like,
wow.
It was
sexy. And I didn't get asking her. Yeah, I didn't ask him for his number or anything because, you know, it's my brother's event. I didn't want to seem like, you know what I mean?
Thirsty.
Like,
you didn't at least give him your Instagram?
Right.
You didn't give him your Instagram at least?
Nothing.
Hit me on the DM.
So how are we going to call him?
Well, I just went into my brother's phone like, you know, whatever. Let me just get this guy's number and just try this out.
What?
Brother,
so you just went
you,
in
Nyla?
His phone? You didn't even tell your brother?
I didn't tell him.
You should have asked your brother at least like, yo, can you hit your friend and let him know, see if it's cool? What if he's got a girlfriend?
Me and my brother aren't cool like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't talk to him about that stuff.
Yeah, your brother not about to pass off his sister's poom poom to his friend. That's kind of weird.
Right.
I think we should call him and see what happens, because this could go left or
this
could
go
right.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we'll call him. We'll give it a shot. What's his name again?
Sean.
All right, we'll call Sean when we come back and you get to shoot your shot. And we'll just be here for support.
What if you find out Sean really has a crush on your brother?
Well, I don't think he's gay or LGBTIA or any of that.
LGBTIA?
What does the A stand for?
What the hell?
Asexual?
It's the new
initials.
It's the
I thought it was a Q
initials.
In there. You know what? Never mind.
Yeah, I thought it was LGBTQ.
Or maybe I'm messing it up.
All right. All right, we'll call Sean when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Jeremiah with Planes. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, we're in the middle of Shoot Your Shot. We have Nyla on the line. Now, Nyla is calling Sean. Let's see how this works. Go ahead, Nyla. Give him a ring.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, hi. Sean?
Yeah,
who is? Hi, Sean. This is Nyla. We met at my brother Jamal's graduation last week.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good.
I know this is really unusual, but I just I got your number from him, and I just wanted to hit you up and see like if you wanted to, you know, hang out or something sometime. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I thought you were really a nice guy.
Yeah, I remember you. Yeah, that's funny, though, because, like, I was there for, like, I'll keep it real, I was there for, like, free food and free drinks and what have you, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know that I was going to have, like, feelings and meet some, like someone like you, you know? So... We definitely had a good time. I'm glad you followed up, you know.
Yeah, I'm also motivated by free food and drinks, so I get it.
Free shrimp, that was dope. Free shrimp.
Come on, Sean.
All right, so,
the Breakfast Club. You sounded real corny.
Sean, come on. Free food and free drinks.
I ain't gonna lie.
About some free drinks.
Y'all sound black. Y'all sound bad.
I got some free chicken and
can you get Nyla some free food and free drinks now?
But I too would have been there for the free food and free drinks.
My goodness.
Hello?
Yo, what's up? Yo, what's going on, yo?
Oh, Sean, this is the Breakfast Club. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. How are you, sir?
We have a segment called Shoot Your Shot, and Nyla wanted to shoot her shot
with
Nyla,
you.
Yo, whoa, I'm on the radio?
Yeah, Nyla just wanted a little extra support. You know what I'm saying?
Why am I on the radio?
What do you mean, why are you on the radio? We got a segment called Shoot Your Shot. She wanted to holler at you. It's like a love connection. You know what I mean?
Nah, I ain't trying to be on the radio right now.
Oh, you got a girl.
Yeah, he got a girl. You married, Sean? Sean, you married?
Yo, Nyla, what's up with this?
I just, they have this segment. I hear it all the time. It always works. So I figured, you know, let me just hit them up.
I don't get it. Like, I thought you were trying to be Sean real, but then you're trying to jump
in. He's definitely married, man.
Sean, you married?
Sean, are you in a relationship
Definitely in a relationship.
Sean.
Yo, listen. It's no one's business right now about this.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? So right now, I don't even know why I'm incorporated right now in this.
Oh, so what, you was drunk? You was high.
You was drugged?
You got possessed?
Oh, my God.
What you gonna tell your wife, Sean?
This didn't go so well.
It almost did.
All right. You know what, Nyla? I don't know what's going on, though, but it's not cool.
Hold on, Sean. Let me ask you one question.
What do you want?
Just tell me if you're married or not.
I ain't got to answer anything.
You what?
He said he is.
I ain't got to answer anything.
You're not under arrest, Sean. Jesus Christ.
Yes, he is under arrest.
We don't know what it is. That's what I said. You don't know what the situation is. All right, so maybe.
My last name's not used here, right? No one used my last name?
You didn't tell us your last name.
What's your last name, Sean? Okay.
Sean, you should have hung up 40 seconds ago, Sean.
Sorry, Nyla. I don't think it worked out the way you want it. Damn it, man.
That's what happens when you move off emotion and not strategy. Because as soon as I would have heard The Breakfast Club, I would have just hung up.
Yeah, and then my wife would have been like,
hey, you on the radio earlier today? Nah.
Damn it.
Not me. I ain't listen to the radio
all
day.
Well, everything can't always work out, I guess.
I don't even listen to the radio no more. I got Tidal.
My goodness. All right. Well, that didn't work out well. When we come back, we got The Rumors Don't Move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have an exclusive Jackie Christie's daughter.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Yes, now normally we do Rumor Report, but we could not pass this up. Jackie Christie was on The Breakfast Club this morning, and her daughter, Takari Lee, wants to respond to some of the things that were said in the interview. So, of course, we're giving her the platform. So, Takari, how are you feeling this morning?
Hi, everybody.
All right, so basically what she's saying is that you guys still have a good relationship off the public eye, but you're suffering from, you know, different things. And I know in your book you did say that you have struggled with depression.
So I'm not writing a book because I'm suffering from depression. I love my mom. I always will. I'm always going to be respectful when she reaches out to me, you know. So after my son's accident, my mom reached out to me for a brief time period, and I responded. But I haven't spoken to my mom in months, you know, but that's common.
Well, she said you guys do speak. She said that some of the stuff that she says online when she asks you about it, she says you never say it and it's not true. And she basically said that you kind of bipolar.
Kari and I talk on the phone like any mother and daughter. We giggle, we laugh, we talk about her relationship. I'm like, Kari, what is going on? Why is all this on the internet? Won't you stop it? Mom, I don't know why they doing that. It ain't me. That's what she says. I have proof. So it's kind of like, you know, the Kari that I'm dealing with, my daughter, is a whole different person than this internet garbage that's out there.
Yeah, I could have got that, you know, in her other interviews. Everything is being blamed on something. Once my mom reads the book, I think she'll probably just be like, it's all unnecessary, but just to find somewhere to blame, I guess, is her goal in all of this. It's my story. I have no reason to lie. There's nothing in that book that I haven't spoken to my mom about, especially not based on how I feel. Mm-hmm. At some point in my life, we've had this conversation more than once.
Now, your memoir is called Light to Her Shadow. So what's the issue, basically, with you and your mom? Do you feel like from when you were young, she treated you differently from your other siblings? She made you feel unattractive?
Really, me and my mom, it's like not one of those situations where it's like one day, you know, we just had a falling out and now we're not cool. This is like, I don't know, like I can only tell you the story, you know, and you got to get your own interpretation. This has been something from birth, you know. We just didn't get that bond is what I think it is. You know, I have my children. I have bonds with my children. Now. Mm-hmm. I think that bond was missed. You know, I was with my grandma from almost day one on until, you know, a certain age before I even lived with my mom. So Right. It's just a bond that's missing, in my opinion.
She said you get $8 million if she die. You in the will.
Yeah, you're in the will. You get $8 million if she passes away.
If Doug or I was to pass, Kari gets $8 million.
That's a good lump sum.
Maybe she wants me to pass.
I've never had that conversation with my mom. That wouldn't even be a thought of mine. I would be shocked if I'm in anything, especially at this point.
Your mom feels like your son's father is really the one that's putting you up to all of this, and that there's people around you that are bad influences on you. How do you respond to that?
I've been with him for 11 years. I don't know what he would do now. Just a influence. I heard that it was somebody at my past that was extorting me, and I've heard a lot of different. It's me. I wrote my own story. My name is Takari, and I wrote my own book. There's no one forcing me. I'm not being extorted or forced to do anything.
Is your mom a liar?
I wouldn't call her a liar. I'm going to just simply say this. She seems to be confused about some things, you know? I'm not going to disrespect her and call her a liar, but...
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't watch the show, but I do know that if your mama dies, you get $8 million. So what I would tell you is to really, really just watch yourself and watch the things that you say before you get written out of that will, okay?
Definitely.
Now, don't be distracted from the fact that you are in your mama's will for $8 million if she go, okay? All the kids is getting the same amount,
That's still her mom.
What is your relationship with Evelyn Lozada? Do y'all have a relationship? I know she gave you some money. When did you do the GoFundMe?
So the GoFundMe, I couldn't do anything. I could barely breathe. I'm standing in the hospital with my 8-month-old baby, like, you know, who I had dropped off at daycare, and he was fine, and now I'm sitting here and missing half of his skin. I didn't do anything. You know, it was concerned family who was very, like I said, this is not just between me and my mom. You know, everyone knows the situation. They made the GoFundMe, and they did that because they felt like it was the best option for my family, you know? We didn't have no time for no extra drama.
Now, your mom said that your friends bought a bunch of sneakers and stuff with that money from GoFundMe.
And some drugs.
And some drugs.
Oh, God. She said that my friends bought it?
Sneakers and weed. They said that all the money you raised, you gave it to your little boyfriend because you all in love with him. She said you all demotized.
She did not say all of that.
She said you all demotized over your little boyfriend and he took all the money.
Well, like I said, I've been with the same person for 11 years. Nobody did anything to the money, especially not buying any drugs or sneakers. And that would be an assumption because I haven't been in the same room with my mom in over 6 years. So I don't know.
Wow, you haven't?
Going on. Yeah. I have not been in the same place with her.
In over 6 years.
Oh, wow. She said you guys speak regularly.
No, Jackie calls me every, you know, couple months.
Did you call her Jackie?
My mom.
Okay.
It's a back and forth type thing, you know. She, before, like last year, she was really kind of radio silent. I didn't talk to my mom besides probably twice before my son's accident. And then after that, I didn't hear from her until December. But before, years before, she calls every couple months, hey, how you doing? How are the kids? She would say things like, I'm gonna send some change, you know, and that's what she'd do. She'd send like $100 or $50 or birthday presents for the kids as far as like, you know, go get them something because I don't know what they like.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as our relationship, you know. I haven't been a birthday. I haven't been a holiday. Like, I haven't been around them at all in years.
So do you want your mom to have a relationship now with your children, with you? Do you want this to happen?
Yeah, that'd be a dream. I'd love for my kids, but they're not allowed to watch her on TV and stuff because, you know, that's a bit much. But I want...
You're not gonna let them watch the lady. You're not gonna let them watch the lady who they're gonna get $8 million from in the future.
Oh, stop it!
They're not gonna watch that. They get kicked out the room. They know, and they're not even allowed to come in the room while it's on. You know, but I don't watch it very often.
Okay.
You know.
Now your mom is saying that perhaps when this book comes out, she might have to sue you and get those books pulled off the shelf.
She did say that.
If she wants to, I don't. Like I said, I think my mom has bigger people out there that she should be worried about than me. Right? You know, I wouldn't. I've heard some things, but I'm not the one that's going to write about it.
All right. Well, Takari, we appreciate you for checking in with us. And I really do hope that you and your mom can somehow mend things and come together because your children are involved. And obviously, that's your mom. You love her.
I do. And I appreciate that. I hope the same thing.
And please remember that you are in her will for $8 million. Don't f*** that.
I don't remember that.
All right.
You don't want to think about anything bad happening to your mom, though.
Right, most definitely. I'm hoping everybody does well. I hope that everything goes well with her and the show and everything. I don't want to come for nobody's job or careers. And it'll come out after the buzzer, though. I think everybody will kind of calm down.
Okay, well, thank you and good luck.
Thank you, guys. You have a good day.
You
All
too.
Right. Well, that was your rumor report. All right, Yee with the exclusive. All right, when we come back, we got the People's Choice Mix. Let us know what you want to hear at DJ Envy. Our Revolt, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.